8:16 now. Rain, the worst of it is through. The area should be, and then it clears up by about 9:30 and begins. And well, not really cool off. Highs of 80 today. The dry weather and cooler weather filters in overnight, and then tomorrow morning it should be a night and day difference, literally between now and then. The Germans have this wonderful word, Schadenfreude, and it means basically taking pleasure or satisfaction from witnessing another person's misfortune. I say that as we welcome in Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter. This is based on a tweet of his, and it relates to something that happened in the Cowboys game last night, if you didn't see it. How you doing, Jeff?
Doing good. How about yourself, Tommy?
I'm good. Thanks for taking the time with us. For people that didn't watch the game, tell us what happened with Dallas last night with the decision to take some points off the board. But it wasn't just points. I mean, in a way it was, but in a way it wasn't. Tell us the story, please.
Well, the Cowboys are in a bad, bad way, first of all. I mean, so if you're a Bobby Hebert, certainly thrilled to hear that, you know.
That's a German word for you, Schadenfreude. Go ahead.
But yeah, it's kind of it's a bizarre situation in that game because they're down 10, they kick a field goal.
Oh, not just a field goal.
Yarder.
Yeah, 64 yards.
Yeah, and Brandon Aubrey is like insane, and he kicks it like it's no big deal, right? It's 1 yard short of the NFL record, and you would think it was just an extra point for him. But then there's a penalty on the Texans, so they take the points off the board. And the drive continues. Then they get down near the goal line. They go for it on 4th and 2 and don't get it. So they have a drive where they hit a 64-yard field goal and also didn't score, which is such a good kind of microcosm of the Cowboys' season at large when you think about it.
You're close to this team, the Saints I'm talking about. Tell me the difference that you see, and I hate to use the word feel, but if you can feel it with Rizzi as a head coach?
I mean, I think he's kind of just got everyone going in the direction they need to go in. I think he's got everyone bought in. And that's an important thing. And, you know, that could be the difference, especially when you're talking about, hey, what's the message for this team? The message is finished. The message is, you know, you win games in the fourth quarter. You don't win games in quarters 1 through 3. And this has been a team that's played good football up to this point. We're up to week 10 through the first 3 quarters, but then the fourth quarter was not, they didn't win it. Mm-hmm. And these last 2 weeks, they have won the fourth quarter, right? These last 2 weeks, they've dominated the fourth quarter, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, Darren's funny. He's been using visual aids in his team meetings. I think the first one he used, it was kind of I think it was a shovel. Because his message was, hey, we all dig this hole, we got to dig out of it. And then I guess he started bringing more and more props to his team meetings to the point that now he looks like Bob the Builder when he's up there. He's in like a full construction outfit. He's got a hard hat and he's got like the vest. And so he said he's got to start going to meetings like 20 minutes early to get all of his props in the room because he brings a new one every day. I think he brought a level. Last week at some point, he says that's become a challenge for him is to come up with a new prop to bring to the team meetings every day.
Yeah, but you know what? It's motivation, and that's right.
Well, there's a fine line between there's a fine line between motivating and leadership and like corniness, right? And, you know, it's tough to know when you're on the right side of it and the wrong side of it. I think Darren does a good job of identifying what that is. And
I think
when,
it depends on who's doing it too, Jeff, because you know you can have two different people walk into a room, say the same exact thing. One of them, the room's going to laugh, and if you could, I erase that and do it again, the other one, everybody's going to get angry at the person for saying it. A lot of it has to do with who's presenting it.
Yeah, I think it's about being genuine, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're trying to play a character, people pick up on that. I think Darren is very kind of unapologetically himself, very authentic, and players pick up on that. Players appreciate that. I think fans pick up on that. I think fans appreciate that. And I think that's just kind of what you're getting is you're getting a team that just seems like it's in where it needs to be mentally, physically. You're getting there. You know, still would like to get a few players back healthy. But, no, I'm happy with where they are in terms of, hey, if you had to – you know, obviously you don't want to be 4-7 in any season, But I think they have some positivity rolling into the bye week. They have a chance to come back and win a few more games and maybe make this thing interesting. So, you know, I'm feeling a lot better about this whole operation than I was maybe a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I am too. We got to take a break. But you know what you just said, that analysis of why I'm such a big fan of yours. How'd you say it? If you're trying to play a character, what did you say just now?
I mean, it's just if you're playing a character and you're not being yourself,
exactly,
and you're not being genuine,
and
people pick up on
it. You can't fake the funk. You cannot. One thing that I think kind of flew beneath the radar, if 41 can fly beneath the radar, Alvin Kamara had a tremendous game on Sunday. It got overshadowed, if you will, by Taysom Hill, and rightfully so. But we'll talk about that and more when we come back with Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, 822 Traffic Now, WWL. 827, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with WWL Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Jeff, Alvin Kamara continues to amaze me. And again, going back to the beginning of the season, I'm glad he got his deal done and everything. He was overshadowed by Taysom Hill. I don't know who you want to talk about first, Taysom Hill or Alvin Kamara, or perhaps the offensive line and Eric McCoy. Thoughts? You got me muted, Jeff? You got me muted? Unmute me, Jeff.
I did.
There you
Sorry.
Go.
I
kill,
yeah,
kill, kill.
Bad.
Kill, kill. Unmute, unmute.
Yeah.
Kill, kill. Go ahead.
I didn't realize I did mute it. So, so I'll go with Eric McCoy first, you know, just because that's the news, right? Obviously, Alvin and Taysom had big games. But Eric left that game early with kind of re-aggravated his groin issue. I think they were being proactive. I think they were just playing it safe with him, knowing they had the bye coming up. Darren Rizzi said yesterday that he underwent tests, and it doesn't seem like it's anything significant. If they were playing this week, I think that he might be a question mark. But I think they're hopeful that they can get him back after the bye week. And, yeah, and that's a big deal. Like, if they – it would be very, very discouraging if they were unable to get him back in week 13 against the Rams. Because he's a big part of what they do. And – he's been working back. He's been fighting back from that groin surgery, so we'll have to see. Taysom Hill,
Let me go back to the offensive line if I can, because in my role as a tackling dummy / kicker on a football team, I was with the offensive lineman, so I have that mentality. Trevor Penning Trevor Penning, I'm a big fan of the offensive lineman, but Trevor Penning went into the season as a big question mark, but really he's kind of emerged, has he not?
Yeah, I think he's progressed. He's developed in the way that the coaches would hope, right? Like, he's still got a long way to go. But, you know, what I said in training camp and what I think has come true to some extent is I need for him to be on the field, for him to be an asset as instead of a liability. I need him to run block. I need to be able to run the ball to his side and have the defense feel like, okay, we need to do something about this. Because if you can do that, then, you know, you can keep that side of the pass rush kind of subdued. And that's what they've been able to do. And he's just getting better. He's working on stuff every day. You know, he's picking one thing to work on. He's feeling like he gets that right, and then he moves on to something else. And then you kind of loop back around and make sure you don't forget it. Right.
We never have enough time, but I want to get to this tweet. Y'all can follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff_Nowak, Nowak, about being a fan and fan reality. Just tell me what you tweeted, and I think it's very, very interesting the way you said that about here's the thing. Take it from there.
I mean, I don't know. I think as a fan, generally, this is how I approach it. You can fan however you want to fan. But the way I've always looked at situations like this, and I grew up watching the Giants. I've had a lot of seasons like this. You can choose what reality you want to live in, right? And for me personally, I choose to live in the most exciting version of that reality. I'm not going to sit there and think about draft picks while the Saints are playing on Sundays. I'm going to pretend I'm in the, man, we're going to win out, go to the playoffs, and this is going to be a season to remember until they force me to think otherwise. And, you know, you're in a situation where you get to go into the bye week, enjoy yourself, come out, watch a game of football and see what happens. So that's kind of where I'm at. What's the downside is my question. Like, what's... what's the harm in doing that? All you get is, you know, maybe fooling yourself into thinking that this could be a special season. But, hey, until it's not, why not?
I'm right there with you, and that's why I wanted you to say it. I'm a big fan, Jeff. Thank you for coming on. Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter. When we come back, we'll talk with Scott Vaughn, founder of Unbranded, about what they've got planned for the Super Bowl. 831 traffic and news and all that stuff now on WWL. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Scott Vaughn joins us, friend of mine, founder of Unbranded, and I saw Meg Farris had a story on him on WWL TV that I thought was pretty interesting, and he's got an interesting story in and of himself. Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm fine. How about you?
I'm okay. Tell people about yourself and your dad, because I think it's an interesting story, because we watch people officiate games, and we don't always know where they come from.
Well, my dad was an NFL referee for 25 years, and then I officiated in college football for 24 years, and a lot of those years in the Southeastern Conference. But a few years ago, I started a nonprofit called Unbranded, to where we do tattoo removal for boys and girls that have been sex trafficked. A sex trafficker will brand with a tattoo a boy or a girl that claims ownership over that human being. So our organization removes those brandings and those tattoos from boys and girls, which is critical in their healing. And recently, because of my affiliation with the National Football League and my dad's affiliation, the National Football League Referee Association has just given us a tremendous opportunity. And what they've done is they're providing us with 10 Super Bowl tickets. And being that the game, Super Bowl 59, is in New Orleans this year, they want us to do a raffle with the Super Bowl tickets so that we can raise money for Unbranded.
And I wanted to have you on because, first of all, I admire what you do. This is about as ugly gets. Would you not agree when it comes to something that's going on in society that is the equivalent of slavery that happens beneath the radar? You're doing your best to undo the damage that that does. Nobody wants to talk about it, but not talking about it's not going to make it go away. Accurate?
Exactly, and we need to talk about it. I mean, it's very disturbing. The girls that I personally treat and the boys that I treat and the stories that I hear, it's horrific. It's very troublesome, and it's sad to have to hear that. But, you know, my team at Unbranded is just very happy and very fortunate that we're able to assist in the healing process for these boys and girls, because it's critical in the whole healing process.
For people that don't realize, Scott, just talk about the tattoo. You're talking about basically a code here. Sometimes it's a barcode. It's like basically that's what it is, like branding cattle, right? I mean, like an animal?
It is. It is no different than a rancher brands his livestock. And a tattoo is a representative of which sex trafficker owns that human being. Some of them are barcodes. Some of them are actually even scannable. You know, some of them may be a bed of roses or a crown or a money symbol. And I even see some of them that could be roses and other flowers, and then embedded in that can be the sex trafficker's name.
And this is 2024 we're talking about. And you're talking about something that would sound as though, not with the high-tech part of it, but something that would go back to the draconian days or something, but that's going on right now. Tell me about the process, how it is that you go about removing these tattoos, and even though it's people that perhaps are not even still being trafficked, how important it is that tattoo come off.
Yeah, we've treated, just in the New Orleans area, the greater New Orleans area, 43 survivors of sex trafficking and provided over 350 tattoo removal treatments. And it takes 3 to 6 treatments to remove a tattoo. But every sex traffic survivor that we've treated, they have multiple tattoos, because what a sex trafficker will do is he'll sell that boy or girl to another sex trafficker, and then they'll put their branding, their tattoo on that individual as well. So, you know, they end up having multiple tattoos, multiple treatments to get them removed, and that's the process. We can do a treatment every 6 to 8 weeks, because we need to give that area that we're treating time to heal. And it's a process. You know, it takes months to remove that tattoo, but it's so critical in their healing process, because they see that constant reminder every day. You know, every day they look down at their arm, or every time they look in the mirror, they have that constant reminder and that constant slap in the face of just the horrific sexual abuse, physical abuse that they have endured for so long.
Let me take a break real quick and go to unbranded.org, find out more. We'll talk about the raffle when we come back. But just in terms of vetting a charity and when it comes to Unbranded, for the NFL referees to vote unanimously to donate 10 Super Bowl tickets, I think that tells you that's as vetted can be. We'll also talk about the raffle when we come back and what it is, Scott, that you've done with, I guess, Homeland Security with the Super Bowl coming up, which unfortunately can be related to sex trafficking, not as part of the NFL or the official game or anything, just an ugly underbelly of it, I guess. 8:50, 10 till 9, more when we come back. Go to unbranded.org. And meanwhile, right now it's time for WWL Traffic. All right, 8:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Scott Vaughn. He was a SEC referee. His dad was an NFL official, and his grandfather was an official as well. The NFL Referees Association voted unanimously to donate Super Bowl tickets to help his organization, Unbranded, that removes tattoos from victims of sex trafficking. Tell me about the raffle, Scott, and how it works and how people can help.
Sure. You know, if anyone donates $200 to Unbranded, they'll get a raffle ticket. And there's no limit to how many donations someone can make. And actually, we have a special going right now to where if you donate $1,000 instead of getting 5 raffle tickets, you'll get 6. And the reason the NFLRA wanted to get involved in this is, as I was explaining to them, weekly I have different organizations that contact me all around the state of Louisiana who have boys and girls that they're currently taking care of and taking them through the rehabilitation process. But logistically, transportation-wise, it's hard to get someone from, let's say, Shreveport down to the clinic in Metairie. So for the past year and a half, I've been working with a laser company to develop a laser that can withstand the vibration and the bouncing that is going to occur on the highway that would normally throw the calibration off. So they have invented a laser that can withstand that. So now we can spend the time to go on the road and say, spend a day in Lafayette, spend another day in Lake Charles, spend a day in Shreveport or Bossier City, and just kind of bounce around the state of Louisiana and treat these survivors of sex trafficking at the different locations with the organizations that are currently taking care of them and putting a roof over their head and educating them.
Scott, I tell you, I think the world to you and the organization, and it's one of those things, again, it's not nice to talk about it. It'd be easy just to ignore this and sweep it under the rug, but it's good work that needs to be done. And again, in terms of vetting your organization, the fact that the NFL Officials Association voted unanimously to donate these tickets to your organization speaks volumes. For people to buy their tickets, tell me quickly, how do they do it?
They can go to unbranded.org, and it's right on the homepage. And the Donate Now button they can click on is right next to the Super Bowl raffle tickets. That's, like I said, right there on the homepage, and we'd appreciate everybody's help.
$200.
To get this done.
$200 a ticket or electronic ticket, whatever you want to call it. And you're only selling 1,500, right?
Exactly. There's only 1,500 raffle tickets available, and there'll be 5 winners, and each winner will win a pair of Super Bowl 59 tickets that it's going to be played right here in New Orleans at the end of this football season.
And I know you've reached out to the Department of Homeland Security to help with anything to fight against sex trafficking as well. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your time and your efforts. Y'all go to Unbranded. You bet. Unbranded.org. Serious work that needs to be done, and Scott's doing it. We'll be back, WWL.